Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Today's discussion will be highly informative for banks, payments professionals, fintechs, and corporations that interact with the ACH network. Because today, Michael Hurd, Senior Vice President of ACH Administration at NACHA, discusses the ongoing growth, successes, and innovation of the ACH network at the halfway point of 2022. He's joined by Steve Murphy, Mercator Advisory Group's own Director of Corporate and Enterprise Payments. This is a data-rich discussion with lots of new statistics, particularly around same-day ACH and B2B payments. Without further ado, let's take it to the show.
So, Mike, we're halfway through the year. Overall, what's the state of the ACH network halfway through 2022?
Well, Ryan, the state of the ACH network is still strong. It's being used by more people and businesses, governments, and other organizations for more and more of their payments activity. You know, even as we in 2022 have seen the end of, you know, the extraordinary one-time pandemic assistance-related payments out of various levels of government, we still see ACH growth occurring, particularly in same-day ACH, in business-to-business payments, and in consumer payments as well. So the network continues to grow, continue to improve upon prior years' record growths, even as the pandemic payments have ended as of 2021.
So, Mike, so I concentrate mostly when I do my research on the kind of the corporate banking, corporate payments side of the business. So most interested in B2B, which I know is taken off quite a bit. For some of the listeners who may not completely understand what or how NACHA defines B2B payments, how would you explain that to them? What do you include in that category?
Sure. Good question, Steve. Yeah, the B2B volume results have been pretty dramatic. We consider B2B activity on the ACH, any kind of payment or transfer where both the sender and the receiver are businesses or other types of organizations. In other words, not consumers. So, you know, a business-to-consumer payment, like a payroll direct deposit, is not something we would consider or put in the B2B category, nor would a bill payment from a consumer. So a C2B also would not be within our realm or definitions a B2B payment. We're really talking about things like invoice and supplier payments from one business to another, other types of activity like transfers from account to account when it's a business, you know, moving from one account at one bank to an account at another bank, or even sometimes settlement activity related to card processing transactions when a merchant or business is getting funding for card payment activity. That would be within the B2B category realm. But I think mostly just think of it as being like invoice and supplier payment to differentiate that from consumer payments.
Got it. So to be clear, we're not talking about payroll to employees, but if, let's say, a bank or a business wanted to move money to a payroll company, that would be considered sort of an account-to-account transfer. So it would be part of B2B.
Yeah, that's correct. So,
okay, got it.
You know, a business with 1,000 employees, their payroll run of 1,000 direct deposits would not be B2B payments. But if they funded that payroll in some different way with a ACH credit or debit, that one payment would be a B2B payment.
Got it. Thanks.
So, Mike, in March, the same-day ACH per payment limit increased to $1 million. What's been the impact of that increase?
Well, Ryan, the impact has been pretty dramatic. We've seen very, very high levels of dollars moving through the same-day ACH windows, and the quarter-over-quarter increases have been pretty strong. And when you look at it on a year-over-year basis, you know, really dramatic. Before the increase went into effect in mid-March, so I guess I'm referring to the month of February, the last full month, same-day ACH processed about $80 billion for the month. Just 2 months later, in April, so the first full month when the new limit was fully into effect, that had more than doubled to $177 billion. So more than doubled in just 2 months. And we really have seen it stay at that heightened level since that time. And, you know, that's very similar to the experience we had 2 years ago, the last time the limit was raised from its initial $25,000 per payment to $100,000, so a fourfold increase. Now we've done a tenfold increase, and again, I've seen a pretty dramatic effect from users about the utility of having a higher dollar limit. In fact, we saw a very interesting release from Dwolla with respect to one of their customers in the real estate industry about how they were taking advantage of the new limit up to $1 million as being very beneficial for their business and their business processes. So got a lot of good feedback from the industry about taking that step to move to $1 million per same day ACH payment.
So, Mike, I saw some data in the press release that went out that basically, I think, 25% increase in transaction volume and almost 100% increase in value. So that's pretty substantial. So that indicates that, you know, obviously the $1 million is having an impact. In what you mentioned real estate, in what other use cases are the initiators actually sending the money through for?
Yeah, I'd call out two areas where that's having the most kind of impact, or I guess a different way to say it is where the use cases are driving the growth and especially the dollar growth. And again, I would call out business to business activity. And so, you know, businesses really are the entities that have the need to send larger dollar payments. And, you know, the results we see in B2B for same day ACH, you know, again, in just one quarter, more than a 20% growth in payment volume and more than 150% growth in dollars moved, dollar volume. So I think that does show the extent to which businesses in their B2B space for invoices, again, or account transfers are taking advantage of that new dollar limit for same day ACH. We also see it in some kinds of consumer payments. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with consumers being able to move money into or out of other types of accounts outside of their primary bank account. And brokerage accounts seem to be the leading user for consumer payments for same-day payments up to the new $1 million limit. So a consumer being able to authorize the movement of funds from their primary bank account into a brokerage account, you know, or a retirement account or what have you, and being able to have that happen on a same-day basis for greater dollars than what the prior limit was, you know, up to $1 million. Or conversely, when you want to draw money out and take it out into your primary bank account, the ability to do that also on a same day basis up to $1 million per payment. So when that is offered by the brokerage or, you know, whoever else is offering those kind of account services and enabling consumers to provide instructions to move the money in and out, we've seen that as a strong use case for same day ACH payments up to the new $1 million limit.
So just for audience clarity, when you talk about SDA, same-day ACH, and B2B, I know those volumes are tracked. Are they tracked totally separately, or are the B2B uses within SDA part of the B2B numbers as well? How does that work?
Well, it's both. The same-day volumes are a subset of the overall volume. So out of the, you know, whatever the volume of transactions are, some subset of that is processed as same-day payments. But we do track, you know, the individual types of transaction types, B2B, B2C, C2B, et cetera, just within the same day processing space also to see what is happening quarter by quarter and year over year. So, you know, I think it's probably, you know, logical. You probably get that, you know, the same day growth is, you know, from a percentage standpoint, you know, pretty high compared to overall ACH, but it is just a subset of the overall ACH volume numbers.
Got it. Thanks.
So, Mike, last year saw a dramatic increase in B2B payments over the ACH network. With more and more businesses returning to the office this year, what's been the impact on that trend? Maybe specifically, are people going back to paper as they go back to the office?
That's a great discussion area and one we have been wondering about. We have not yet seen an impact to the trend of, you know, really substantial and robust growth in ACH B2B payments. I think the pandemic era was really transformational when it comes to how, like, maybe the broad universe of small and medium-sized businesses made and received payments and not having people in the offices or not wanting to have direct customer contacts anymore was really a strong driver to change behavior that we had only been moderately successful at prior to the pandemic era. I know there's a lot of people in the industry that have been trying to push small and medium-sized businesses to electronic payments for, I mean, decades. Let's acknowledge that, right? And although incremental success was had, it really was the 2+ years of the pandemic era that really led to much more transformational type change. And so far, we have not seen backsliding. So I know that some, you know, offices are more open to having staff in, including back office staff and treasury staff and accounting staff. That's certainly true at NACHA as a small organization. Our accounting people are some of the people that are in the office more than the rest of us. But, you know, we in the pandemic era have been able to, you know, get over the last hump to be 100% ACH for all of our accounts payable and all of our accounts receivable payments in the B2B arena. And, you know, just as another kind of a personal example, you know, I think a lot of tools and platforms have either become available or maybe they exist, but had been discovered in a larger kind of way during the pandemic era to the extent that, for example, you know, you get a lot of personal services type providers, landscape companies, for example, that I now can pay by ACH every month because they're utilizing a tool like QuickBooks that has fully enabled, you know, ACH processing and enabling those types of small businesses to get paid by ACH. So I think we've seen a ton of change in this area just over the past 2 to 3 years, and it looks like it is here to stay. We really don't see a lot of evidence or any evidence, I would say, of backsliding, of going back to preferring to pay and process in paper.
So Mike, we've, you know, read a lot about inflationary pressures and recessionary pressures, especially over the last 6 months since the, you know, the global conflict and so on and so forth. Are you seeing any of that in the network?
Well, a couple of things, and it's hard to really say there's a cause and effect, but dollar flows over the ACH are growing much faster than payment volume. And that is perhaps a reflection of kind of the inflationary nature of economic activity over the last 6 to 9 months or so. You know, we haven't seen a decline in actual payment volume that could be attributable to a recession. Lots of times, payment volume kind of rises and falls with economic activity. So, you know, strong economic growth leads to strong payment volume growth. And obviously, recession might lead to a reduction in payment volumes, or at least in the rate of growth. So far, we haven't seen that in terms of the volume of ACH payments. We're still seeing growth in B2B activity, which is a, you know, a core part of economic activity. We're still seeing increases in consumer online payments, which are used for bill payments and other types of account transfers. Where we've seen some slow growth or some slowdown in growth has to do, again, with, you know, the fact that assistant payments from the last 2 years have ended. And so our volume reflective of that in the direct deposit area has been down. I think we also watch, you know, payroll activity. And, you know, unemployment rate is low, but job participation levels are only about where we were pre-COVID. So the volume of payroll payments really is not substantially higher now than it was about 3 years ago.
Okay, thanks.
So, Mike, what additional innovations are coming to the ACH network this year?
Well, Ryan, that's always a question of interest. So we do have something on tap to go into effect in September. In mid-September, each of our two ACH operators, the Clearinghouse and the Federal Reserve, will implement additional late-night ACH file deliveries to all financial institutions that participate in the ACH system. So that's about 9,800 financial institutions to receive files of ACH payments later at night on banking days. And this is especially impactful on Fridays. So it's late Friday night ACH file delivery, which is really a gap that exists today. So after our last same day file delivery at the close of business on Friday, there is not another ACH file distribution until Monday morning. And so this is a gap we're trying to address, and this is a first step in that process. So enabling the delivery of files to all financial institutions will accelerate the delivery of some volume of ACH payments that otherwise would be received on the morning of the next banking day. And this is going to allow, again, 9,800 financial institutions of all types and sizes to be able to provide their account holders with more up-to-date and accurate information on their activity and what their account balances will be at the opening of the next banking day. So I think it's a good move in terms of customer user experience, avoiding overdrafts by having a better look into your actual account activity, and just accelerating the process of some volume of ACH activity that wouldn't be delivered until the next morning. So it's another step in the direction of payments being available closer to a 24/7 cycle. And for us, you know, fills a gap that we currently have.
So, Mike, you had mentioned earlier that same day ACH had started at 25K and then moved to 100K, and now it's at a million. What should the listeners anticipate, if anything, with regard to that limit being raised again?
Well, that's a great question. Anytime that we go out and speak to corporate audiences, it's typically the first question somebody asks is, what's going to happen next with the dollar limit? There are those we hear from who advocate for essentially a no limit to the dollars with same day ACH payments, that they, you know, would just have the same limit as a standard ACH payment. And, you know, I think the way these things have gone in the past is that we implement and go live with the new limit. And we essentially, you know, kind of let it run for a while. Let's see how it works. Let's see what the results are. Clearly, as we've discussed earlier today, we have a pretty dramatic result in terms of usage and just over the first 3 months. But, you know, typically we want to see what, you know, that kind of activity looks like over, you know, a 6 or 9 month period and hear from the industry how well they've adapted to those larger dollar flows and also what time of day that they're happening. You know, if they're happening first thing in the morning, that's probably not an impact from, you know, kind of how you end up at the end of the day. But if those dollar flows are happening later in the afternoon, certainly that's information we want to know and hear as we move into consideration of an additional dollar limit increase. So that's a long way of saying that there's nothing on the table at the moment in terms of a next increase, but it is something that we are acutely aware of. And, you know, in terms of what can your listeners anticipate, I would anticipate that at some point, you know, in the next, you know, 6 months or so, that we would start to more formally discuss and consider whether there should be another dollar limit increase.
Got it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, Mike and Steve, you know, thank you so much for your time today. A super informative review of where we stand in the ACH network. And, you know, thanks for sharing all the valuable data and use cases.
It's my pleasure, Ryan. It's always nice to talk with you and your audience. And thanks for having me.